Welcome to a distant future full of possibilities, where the enigmatic Florvans are humanity's alien best friends, and their gift of the quantum space drive allows starships to slip through the veiled dimension they call the Strange, as they visit distant planets and stars. Come along with the astral navigators and their Florvan counterparts as they explore the galaxy and build friendships that will change the course of history. The Strange is calling you. Welcome, friend-shaped entities, to episode 7 of the Strange Space Adventures podcast. I'm Katie Silverwings, author of the award-winning series of cozy, optimistic science fiction stories this podcast brings to you each week. I'm thrilled to be here with you in audio form to share the tales of strange space. This week, we have two more chapters from my debut novella, Feathered Friendship. Our chapters this week focus on Bernadette the Budgie's life now that her little family has noticed that she's a sapient bird. Stick around after the chapters for a special announcement. Without any further delay, here's this week's installment of Feathered Friendship, a Strange Space Novella.
Chapter 14.
Will you just hold still, Bernie? Zoe laughs brightly. I don't want to solder you instead of these microwires.
Ever since they all realized that Bernadette was, in fact, intelligent and sapient and able to carry on a proper conversation with them, the tall people in her flock have been treating her much like they do Navy's 3 silver kitten floofs. Zoe, in particular, seems to have warmed up to her, in no small part because, unlike the kittens, Bernadette isn't in the habit of borrowing their tools and hiding them in hard-to-reach places around the ship.
"Bernadette, be still,"
she promises, allowing Zoe to continue carefully connecting the tiny bits of circuitry on the collar they're setting up over her mantle and breast to match the 2 little bands that they've already put around her legs. The whole collar is designed with small, carefully arranged sections so that she can move them to preen the feathers underneath. It's secured across her upper back with an even finer band running under the base of her wings.
"Do you really think this will work, Zoe?" asks Cobalt, who's been assisting them with the procedure.
"Well, the theory's sound enough, and she's smart enough to understand how to use it. So, hopefully, yes." A few minutes later, everything is attached, and the latest prototype of Bernadette's personal tech adaptations are finally on and ready to test.
"Okay, Bernie, that should do it. Now say something."
"Hello, world. I am Salzar Newman's Bernadette of Venture."
Zoe and Kobe laugh.
"Oh, really now, Bernie?" Zoe says, still chuckling.
"I know that's a classic programmer's phrase, but the name Ares given you is 3 times longer than you are."
"It was the name Mother put on my registry paperwork when I hatched,"
Bernadette replies with a punctuating chirp.
"It's mine, and I'm keeping it."
"You really are Ares' daughter, aren't you?"
Zoe pats her on the head briefly to smooth her back feathers into place over the circuits connecting the sections of her collar.
"You've certainly inherited enough of her personality."
"I will take that as a compliment."
The tiny circuits continue to do their job perfectly, allowing Bernadette to speak with a voice that's less garbled and imitation-like and far easier to understand. That was the whole point of this, really, to make good use of some of the same sorts of microcircuitry that Zoe specialized in designing before they became Navy's Navigator. The small set of bird-sized accessories started out as a modified and patched-back-together combination of an old pocket comm and one of the fancy earpieces the Florvans wear when they're working in quantum space.
"So, Bernadette," Kobe asks, "are you ready to try flying with this on?"
"Yes,"
Bernadette accepts her sibling's assistance to get to a higher perch for takeoff, and then stretches out her wings and flaps them experimentally for a few moments.
"It doesn't feel nearly as heavy as the last one, Zoe,"
she comments excitedly.
"Thank you."
The unexpected weight of the first version of Bernadette's gear had been enough that the all-important flight test had ended with her abruptly falling out of the air and Kobe having to dive and catch her before she could injure herself crashing into the ground. This current set is the result of the 12th round of modifications to the system. She's pleased already with the latest prototype, but it's all worthless if she can't fly properly. With another moment to stretch her wings and sort out the minor differences from her usual center of gravity, Bernadette launches herself up into the air and makes a few experimental flights around the room. Within moments, she's zooming past the open viewport and the sea of stars beyond it with ease.
"Flight adjustments are working,"
she says, chirping excitedly in her own voice to go along with the computer-aided output of the thoughts she's wanting to express. "Good," Zoe tells her, applauding. "Now come land and we'll test your interface with the computers." Bernadette wheels around the room and gracefully lands on Zoe's outstretched arm.
"Okay, what first?"
"Try activating your holoscreen projection, I think. That's what's most likely to short out on us again." Bernadette flexes her wings and then tucks them away and taps the appropriate place on her left foot's leg band. There's a small pinging sound, and then a holoscreen roughly the same size as herself appears hovering in front of her. "Good. Now, see if you can get through the menus and send Ari a message."
"Okay."
Bernadette gestures at the screen with her wing and beak to move through the menus, then pecks the appropriate button when it appears so she can enter the message. A few moments later, she's tapped out a message. "Look, Mother, no sparking feathers this time. Bernie." She adds, as an afterthought, a picture of her face with Zoe and Kobe looking over her shoulder, then pecks the appropriate button to send the message. Having done this, Bernadette looks up to Zoe, bobbing her head and chirping happily.
"This is much easier than trying to hold a stylus in my beak. Thank you."
"Anything to keep my stylus pens from getting beak marks all over them," Zoe laughs. "All right, holoscreen checks out. Flick it back off and let's see if you're able to interface with the ship's systems." Zoe carries her over to the workroom's computer terminal and sets her down in front of it. "You should be able to voice activate it. See if you can find your record now and pull it up on the screen." Bernadette chirps her understanding and then taps the terminal's activation button with her right foot and looks up to the display screen.
"Show personnel record for Bernadette Venture, please."
A few moments later, a biofile appears on the display, complete with her full name and a listing of her pending legal parentage. A photo of Bernadette is included in the file, as are her bioidentity statistics and a link to the record that Mother had filed with the Interstellar Budgerigar Breeders Association when she was a hatchling. There's also a link to the Declaration of Recognition as a Sapient Being documents, which Mother and the ship's easily flustered protocol officer have been trying to file for her, along with the adoption paperwork. "Good, good," Zoe says. "See if it will let you in anywhere else, Bernie." Bernadette taps the access button again.
"Please show listing of systems and files I can access,"
she says, tilting her head to one side at the display screen. She knows the system doesn't actually understand her body language or politeness, but that doesn't do much to change the way she talks to it. A short list, including things like personal messages and official personnel record, pops up. At the bottom of this is an entry entitled Educational Materials and Assignments. Bernadette, ever the curious bird, gestures at the words with her wing.
"What's this one, Zoe?"
she asks, making an appropriate gesture with her foot to open the file. The display populates with an entirely new, brightly colored interface filled with pictures and what seem to be lists of subjects and tasks. "Ah, well now. Pending legal status or not, no daughter of mine is going to get away with being uneducated." Zoe grins at her. "I took the liberty of enrolling you in the same Education for Children on Starship system Navy always puts their kittens in, once they're old enough to study like human children do. A lot of the initial lessons will probably be refreshers for you, considering how much you've already picked up, but it'll be a good place to start.
Really? Oh, thank you, Zoe.
Bernadette flutters up to Zoe's shoulder and nuzzles affectionately against their cheek.
So I'm not eerie anymore.
Zoe laughs and lightly strokes Bernadette's head feathers for a moment. Oh no, of course not. It was only eerie when I thought it was a coincidence, you know. As it is now, well, Ari and I never planned on having kids, but I couldn't ask for a better bird to call my daughter. Bernadette nudges their cheek with her head again.
I like being part of your flock too, Zoe.
Zoe gives her head feathers another gentle stroke of affectionate acknowledgement. Just try to remember how much you like us when you get to the point where you're sick of doing homework, they tease.
I will, and then I will pester you to help me study.
Zoe laughs brightly. Deal. Looks like everything's working then, Kobe chimes in. Who knows, Bernadette, after you get through all of these kitten school things and into advanced subjects, maybe you'll be able to come to the Academy on Earth with me. Bernadette is excited by the thought.
That would be stellar. Do you think they'd let me?
Kobe grins. Well, my Nina and their navigator and his wife are all instructors at Earth. I'm sure we could find a way to get you in if they helped us. Zoe shakes their head, giggling. Now, Cobalt, if you say she's going to be your navigator someday...
I'm going to be a starship's captain someday.
Bernadette's excitement spills over into motion and sends her flying in happy circles around the room again. Kobe's ears twitch with amusement. She's smart enough to be a navigator, but no, Bernadette's going to be my captain. Zoe sets a hand over their face, halfway trying to hold back laughter. You two have talked about this already, haven't you? We might have. Kobe looks back to them with a thoughtful twitch of their tail. What's wrong with the idea of her being an officer, Zoe? Dr. S did confirm that Bernadette can expect to have a human-like lifespan. Why not let her do something brilliant with it? Bernadette lands on Kobe's shoulder and takes her usual perch nestled slightly under their tickly strands of silver hair. She's quite keen to hear the answer to those questions herself. Zoe shakes their head again and then smiles at the two of them. Well, I look forward to seeing you with a starship of your own someday, Bernie. But let's worry about fine-tuning your comm bands first, okay? I want to make sure this ship's doors know not to close on you and catch your tail feathers again.
That would be nice.
Chapter 15. A few weeks later, Bernadette is riding on Kobe's shoulder as they make their way back to their quarters after the ship's nightly quantum space transit cycle. Bernadette has gotten into the habit of listening in on the intercom announcements whenever she wakes to the static-like sensation shimmering over her feathers that signals that the ship has finished one of its jumps and returned to normal space. If she times it just right, she can usually manage to fly down and be perched on the molding of the door opposite the one to the drive bay's antechamber in time to meet her sibling when they emerge at the end of their shift. Tonight, Kobe has been in the drive bay assisting Navy, which means that tomorrow, Bernadette gets to spend the whole day with them. As a provisional apprentice, they're only required to assist Navy or CL so many nights in a row, and then they're given a free day to rest and work on their other studies. The two of them have just finished their brief visit to the bird room to do their usual end-of-the-night chores, not the least of which is to make sure that Mother has remembered to keep track of time and send herself to her nest to sleep at a decent hour. Tonight, they were both pleased to find that she had. Since all is well in the land of the budgies, they now return to Kobe's little cabin attached to the quarters Mother and Zoe share with Navy and their kittens. The rest of the flock seems to have already gone off to their nest by the time Bernadette and Kobe arrive. Bernadette has never been sure why her sibling's nest is in a different room from everyone else, but she's been glad to have a perch in the corner of Kobe's space now instead of spending her nights cooped up with the other budgies. The door is a nice touch, too, since the three kittens are a bit larger than her and can be entirely too curious and cuddly for their own good. Bernadette does like the small silver members of her flock, of course, but there are times when she's very glad she can fly faster than they can scamper. When they reach Kobe's room, Bernadette flutters over to her perch. Her sibling flops themselves dramatically down onto the nest of blankets they sleep in. "Well," Kobe says, "that was a long day."
"Agreed."
Bernadette begins to preen her feathers.
"How did your shift go?"
"It went." Kobe briefly lays their upper pair of hands over their eyes. "Ciel told me that I'm apparently going to be tested again next week to see if Navy can clear me to sign with the Academy at Earth when we make port there in a few months."
"That's good, though, isn't it?"
Bernadette tilts her head to one side. Her sibling is using the tone of voice that usually means something is bothering them. "Yeah, it's good, I suppose." They still sound far less excited than Bernadette would have expected. She can't help thinking of the idea of being a proper Space Service Academy cadet as a terribly exciting thing to look forward to herself.
"You're not looking forward to being done with your apprenticeship?"
Kobe hesitates for a moment before they respond. "Well, the bioscience programs there are neat, at least, especially because Earth has such an amazing variety of native species to study. I'm just sort of not looking forward to have to try to find a navigator who can put up with me, that's all."
"Oh, I'm not sure I understand."
"It's nothing, Bernadette." Kobe kicks off their shoes, which land on the floor one after the other with a somewhat satisfying thud. "Just, you know, I still have the problem about being sure I'm only seeing the things that are really there. I know it's gotten better lately, especially since you've been around to double-check with when I've had the odd off day, but I still..." They trail off and sigh, rising from their nest reluctantly in search of the softer yellow and white striped outfit they wear instead of their apprentice's uniform when they're sleeping. "Well, I'll be living with my family once I get there. I'll be fine. Don't worry about it." Bernadette is confused, but she's also a tired little bird and has something of an awareness that there are things her sibling doesn't like talking about, even with her.
"Okay, then."
She fluffs out her feathers and settles into a comfortable spot on her perch to sleep.
"I'm glad you'll have a flock to keep you company while you wait to find someone as nice as Zoe and Lieutenant Freiberg."
"Yeah, I suppose I just have to hope there is someone like them out there for me." Kobe turns off the light and then returns to their nest and curls up into their usual little ball under the blankets. "Good night, Bernadette. Pleasant dreams."
"Good night, Kobe,"
Bernadette replies. After a few long, silent minutes, a thought occurs to her. She activates the little light source Zoe had included in one of her leg bands and flies over to the nest to land on the blankets near her sibling's shoulder. "Hmm?" Kobe's ears twitch and they open their third eye to look at her. "Can't sleep?"
"No, nothing like that."
"What then?"
"Well,"
she begins, hopping a little closer to their face,
"Ciel told me before about how Florvins don't dream like humans do, but how some of you can sort of share that experience because it's on a similar wavelength to the way you sense quantum space."
"Oh, did they?" Kobe's voice takes on a curious lilt. "So what's got you thinking about that now?"
"Well,"
she replies, gesturing with her wing,
"we know that I experience dreams, and Mother and Navy did decide that a lot of my brainwave patterns look more similar to a human's than a normal budgie's. I was wondering if that means you'd be able to get into my dreams, too."
Kobe seems to consider this for a moment, and then they raise all three of their eyebrows at her. "You know, Bernadette, I honestly don't know if it would work or not. It's been..." They pause, their ear twitches, and then they shake their head. "Well, it's been a long time since I was a kitten sharing Heather's dreams, at any rate." Bernadette notices the hesitation, but since they seem to be trying to stay away from the thoughts that make their ears twitch in that particular way, she decides not to call attention to it.
Heather strikes me as the sort of human who has very interesting dreams.
She's met Kobe's older sister in calls over the relays a few times now. Heather is a doctor and the best sort of an eccentric human, just like Mother is. Bernadette is already looking forward to the day they meet in person. Oh, she certainly does. Kobe laughs lightly. I used to be just as good at getting into them as my Nita is too, believe it or not, and they're one of the best there is at that.
I usually have dreams about flying,
Bernadette tells them.
And stars. They're nice. Would you like to make an experiment of it?
You know, little sister, Kobe smiles and reaches out to lightly stroke her recently preened feathers. I wouldn't mind that at all. Bernadette chirps happily and turns off her little light, then settles into a comfortable position nestled into the space between her sibling's chin and shoulder. It's not long before both she and Kobe are fast asleep, and the two of them are soaring together through the endless sky of stars where no other thoughts or troubles can reach them.
That's where we'll leave our story for this week. I hope you've enjoyed these latest chapters of Feathered Friendship. Next week, we'll see how Bernadette's family is faring with their quest to get her recognized legally as a person. Now for our special announcement. This isn't the only podcast you'll hear my voice on this week. I've had the delight of being the special guest of the week for Season 2, Episode 6 of the Forbidden Radio podcast. Head on over to the link in the show notes to listen to my conversation with the Forbidden Radio fellows about my books, how I wound up writing these stories, and a touch of fun rambling about D&D and our favorite older sci-fi shows and movies. Thanks again to Forbidden Radio for inviting me to hang out with them. And hello to any Forbidden Radio listeners who have come over to the Strange Space Adventures podcast and reached this episode. As always, if you've enjoyed the show, please leave a comment or review on your podcast source of choice. Reviews and recommendations are the best way to help grow the show so I can continue bringing you more and better stories each week. Be sure to subscribe, too, so you don't miss the next episode. If you'd like to support this podcast and all of my other ongoing projects in the Strange Space universe, you can join the Strange Space Fan Club. It's free to join and gets you access to perks like the Strange Space Encyclopedia, chapter transcripts, and the official fan club newsletter. At higher tiers, you can also access the full archive of Strange Space stories on my website, receive exclusive fan club merch, and more. You'll find the link to join in the show notes. Thank you so much to all of my existing fan club members, especially Astral Navigator tier member Sharon T. Hinton and long-running space adventurer Tabitha. I am deeply grateful to all of my fan club members for making this podcast possible. Thanks again for joining me today on the Strange Space Adventures podcast. I hope your week ahead is filled with opportunities and joy. This is Katie Silverwings, wishing you the best the galaxy has to offer. Stay shiny!
The Strange Space Adventures podcast is brought to you by Pep Talk Productions, LLC. Strange Space is a trademark of Katie Silverwings, LLC, and all content of this podcast is copyright 2025 to Katie Silverwings. For more information on Katie Silverwings, Strange Space Adventures, and this season's story, visit www.katiesilverwings.com.